run.
I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for January 4th, 2016 to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mrs. Capalini?
Here.
Mr. Frye?
Here.
Mr. Hanem?
Here.
Mrs. Hussman?
Here.
Mr. Lucy?
Here.
Mr. Mishka?
Here.
Mrs. Westfall?
Here.
All seven members of council recently certified for membership and duly constituted as a council are present, so a quorum does exist. I welcome you to our city council meeting. We're not, it doesn't look like we're going to have a long meeting tonight, but you never know. If there's an item of interest to you, please raise your hand and I'll try to recognize you at the appropriate time. Right now, I invite you to join us in a pledge of allegiance to start the meeting, led by Mrs. Westfall.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Agenda item 3 is additions to the agenda, and I would like to add as 4A, a discussion about the legal age to purchase cigarettes. We have three representatives from the University of Toledo Graduate School here tonight that will talk to us in just a minute. So we'll add that as 4A. Mrs. Westfall?
Nothing, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Any additional items from members of city council? Mr. Sanford?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Schroyer?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Rodas?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mrs. Briney?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the agenda as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and the agenda for tonight is approved. Agenda item 4 is approval of our meeting minutes from December 21st. Mrs. Westfall?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Unless there are any corrections, I move that the Journal of Minutes of the December 21st, 2015 meeting of Sylvania City Council be approved as submitted.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the meeting minutes of December 21st, 2015 as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and those meeting minutes are approved. Now to added agenda item 4A, a discussion about the legal age to purchase cigarettes. We're happy to welcome from the University of Toledo Graduate School Mallory Rinke, a recent graduate, Deb Curry, and Aaron Liam. Welcome all.
Thank you. Good evening, city council members. My name is Mallory Rinke and I'm a Masters of Public Health student at the University of Toledo. I would like to bring your attention to a very important public health topic that impacts our community's health, life expectancy, healthcare costs, the issue of tobacco use. Worldwide, tobacco use is a leading cause of preventable death. In the United States, tobacco kills more than 480,000 people per year. More than AIDS, alcohol, car accidents, illegal drugs, murders, and suicides combined. This is equivalent to 1,200 people per day or 4 jumbo jets full of people. The total of tobacco specifically in Ohio is also staggering. 15% of all Ohio high school students currently smoke, and there are 9,800 kids under the age of 18 who become new daily smokers each year. According to the most recent Lucas County Health Assessment, which collected data in 2013 and 2014, 8% of Lucas County's 7th through 12th graders are current smokers, 22% tried cigarette smoking, and 13% used e-cigarettes in the past year. The good news is there is something that we can do. As policymakers, please consider increasing the current minimum age to purchase tobacco products, including electronic cigarettes, to 21 years of age. Nationally, over 118 cities, including New York City and Boston, and 5 cities in Ohio, including Cleveland, have already done so. The state of Hawaii has also implemented a statewide law. And this all came about because of a national initiative called Tobacco 21. So far, I, along with the professor of public health, have met with the city administrators for all 5 cities in Lucas County in December to discuss this issue. We're hoping to make this a very strong ordinance by encompassing all 5 cities within the county. We're going to city council meetings in January and February to ask policymakers to pass the city ordinance. The reason we're starting with the city is much like how the indoor smoking ban was passed. The state needed to see that cities are supportive of the ban before it turned to a statewide ban. We're using the same technique here with grassroots efforts in our cities and counties so eventually we can advocate at the state level. Implementing a law of this nature has the potential to impact current tobacco smoking rates and human health in several ways. Most lifetime tobacco users will start by the age of 18. If tobacco use is delayed until the age of 21, the overall rate of smoking will likely go down. This has already happened in communities who have implemented these laws, and there was a packet that was sent out that looks like this. I can send it again if you don't have it, and it explains that on the third page. Even if smoking rates were decreased by as little as 1%, this still would equate to thousands of fewer heart attacks, strokes, premature deaths, and health care dollars saved. Many times, there are 18-year-olds in high school that supply cigarettes to their underage friends that are 15, 16, or 17 years old. If the age is raised to 21, we limit social sources of cigarettes because you don't see many 21-year-old college students giving high schoolers tobacco. On page 3, it also shows that over a 3-year period from 2005 to 2008, Needham, Massachusetts gradually raised their tobacco age from 18 to 21. By 2010, cigarette smoking in that city of Needham, the high school students, cigarette smoking rates dropped by more than half, and the surrounding cities also fell slightly. Researchers attribute this decrease to loss of social sources of tobacco. Teen smoking is not powered by illegal sales nearly as much as the legal sales of older youth. In fact, 90% of underage tobacco products are provided by those between the ages of 18 to 21. Raising the minimum age to 21 puts legal purchasers outside of the social circle of most high school students. Over the past few months, I have been researching this topic and talked with city administrators, and one of the most common questions is, what will this do for businesses? The answer is many business owners could benefit from this ordinance because the ID process would be easier with the purchasing of both tobacco and alcohol if they are both 21. It's also different from other business restrictions because it's helping children be healthier, and it's hard to oppose something that would benefit children so much. Cigarette sales to those under 21 account for only 2.12% of total sales, but those are the sales that lead to 9 out of every 10 new smokers. While increasing the minimum age to purchase tobacco-related products is a relatively new public health concept, this is gaining significant momentum. In July of 2015, the CDC released a study concluding that 75% of adults favor raising the tobacco age to 21, including 70% of current smokers and 65% of those 18 to 24. Thank you for your time this evening, and I hope you will thoughtfully consider implementing a 21 and over law for tobacco-related products, including e-cigarettes, and I'm happy to entertain any questions that you have at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. You were right on time. Well done.
I timed it.
Any questions from members of City Council?
I just have a process question, Mr. Mayor, and maybe you could answer this or the law director. What does this require? Is this simply a city of Sylvania ordinance?
We're asking each individual city to change their ordinance from 18 to 21, and we're hoping all 5 cities get on board with it so it's more of a countywide initiative.
Is that within our purview, Leslie, to do that?
Technically, yes, but not without some challenges, some questions and some challenges. And
from you or from?
No, not from me.
Okay. We should expect to have some challenges.
Right.
Got it. Okay.
And there's an enforcement. There's several issues that I think need to be considered before.
Yeah. No, it's not a simple issue.
No,
I understand.
Mallory taught that this is the way that the indoor smoking ban was started, and we received lobbying to do that one as well. I, for myself, speak that this is much better done on a statewide basis, but it took local communities doing it before to get the state to take action.
Yep, and that's what we're seeing here. We're trying to get cities to do it, and then Hawaii actually is the first state to implement it as a statewide initiative. So we're hoping to get as many cities as we can, and then we'll advocate with the state of Ohio.
Is this being done in other parts of Ohio right now?
Cleveland has passed, Cleveland's in, and then areas around Columbus, so there's 5 cities, Upper Arlington, Bexley, New Albany, Cleveland, and there's one where it's in the packet.
Grandview Heights,
yep. So cities around Columbus.
Mallory, I had a question for you.
Yeah.
When you talk about tobacco products in 21. Are you talking about e-cigarettes and cigarettes, but not other tobacco products like snuff and chewing tobacco?
All tobacco products.
All tobacco products.
And e-cigarettes, yep.
If you don't mind, the gentleman back there has a question.
Yeah.
You mentioned that, like 9,800 people under the age of 18 start smoking every year.
Yep.
So how is that going to decrease by raising the age to 21 now?
Because a lot of the high school students are getting it from the 18-year-olds that are in their high school. But if you raise it to 21, those are all college students, and you don't see a college student going to high school or getting
that shit. Right, that makes sense. And then one issue I kind of take issue with is, as far as raising it to 21, I heard you a few times referred to as children, as far as 18. I listed in the military at 18. And that's kind of one of my challenges. If I'm old enough to do that, I don't think that personal freedom should be taken away. So.
Right, and that's a common complaint that a lot of people have, an issue that a lot of people have, but it's kind of, we're kind of going along the lines of alcohol use. Alcohol you used to buy at 18, but there were so many deaths, they had to increase it to 21, and that's what we're seeing here, is we're just trying to increase it a little bit to reduce all those underage kids from starting.
Thank you for your question.
You're welcome.
All right. If there's no further questions, Mallory, we appreciate you taking the time and the effort to come and get us up to date on this subject. And also, thanks to Deb and Aaron for coming with you.
Thank you very much.
Good luck in your endeavors.
Thank you.
With that, we'll move on to our council agenda. Item 5 is Proposed Ordinance 1-2016, and this is to approve an offer to purchase the city received from Sylvania Properties LLC to purchase city real estate located at 6430 Longfellow Road. That's the former parking lot. It was an unpaved parking lot for those of you that lived there, next to the Sylvan Pool. Those of you that have been on council for a while will remember that. So, and I was a member of the Sylvan Pool Association and belonged to that pool. But once it ceased being a requirement of their deeds to contribute to that, there were not enough members to maintain that pool. They came to the city and asked for support. And there was not enough money, I believe, to even pay the property taxes on the property. And so it closed and was sold at sheriff's auction. The city's parcel remains there. We've taken care of it, but the parcel that was sold at sheriff's auction has gone through a couple of different owners and has not been well maintained. This also happened in a neighborhood north of Erie Street up here in northern Sylvania, or North Sylvania, and a pool like this was torn down and two houses that matched the character and size of the surrounding community were put in, and you never know that that pool was there. I think it's a disappointment that the pool is gone. But it's gone, and it's time to move on and let these properties be developed to match the rest of the neighborhood. The city's offered this property for a while. We received lower offers, but we did receive this offer for $10,000 from Sylvania Properties, which Sylvania Properties is owned by the Stansley family, who's done other development work in downtown Sylvania. We've talked to them at length. We feel that they can do a good job. The property will have to be split. The property that the homeowners association own is wider where the pool was. We have to split some of the property off of that to make a legal lot that can be built on the city's portion, which is narrower. I don't know, Mr. Aller or Mrs. Brining, if you'd like to talk more about this, but we've been pursuing this for a couple of years and I think we finally have an appropriate solution.
Yes, I believe so, Mayor. We have talked to the potential buyers about what their plans are. We have seen plans for what they propose to put on the lots once they have the splits and that taken care of. And you know, they're nice houses that will fit in with the surrounding neighborhood. And you know, so I think it's a win-win. The city is able to divest ourselves of a piece of property that really doesn't do much for us. The neighborhood gets two houses that blend in. And of course, you know, we're generating some development within the city with the building there, so I think it's a good sell.
When are these single family homes?
Yes, they are.
We're talking with Longfellow property, city owned. What's happened to the pool property, the subdivision house?
That's been, the pool's torn down and the shelter house and the pool were torn down. They'll be combining, they'll essentially be combining those two lots and then moving the property line to create two buildable lots.
Okay, so that the Stansleys are interested in that parcel as well?
Correct, they already own that parcel.
One additional thing, if I can, as in the purchase offer, as a requirement, we are requiring them to come in and have their plans approved by the Board of Architectural Review and the Plan Commission, and they've agreed to do that.
Right.
You know, those of us who have been on council for a while remember that a lot of the action that was initiated there to address the pool was prompted by citizen involvement. Those neighbors came to council. They were concerned about the condition of the pool and so on. And I think Katie in particular took the lead in working with them. And it took a couple of years, I think. But then I'm assuming the neighbors will be pleased with the outcome here. Is that fair to say?
That's our hope. And that's why we've made a condition of the sale to require them to get our approval. And we'll also have to approve the lot split and the combination, so we'll be involved for the whole process.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Unless they don't have the match with me, but sure. Do any of the CRAs cover this area here, or is that not covered there?
I think so. I think so, Jason. I'm sorry, I don't know offhand. Sure, offhand. Yep, absolutely. Yep, absolutely. They can definitely apply for that. We'll make that known to him.
If they developed it, it would transfer, or is that on the
On a residential property, it would likely be, if they sell it, they would no longer be responsible for the property taxes, so they could negotiate that as part of their sale, however they wanted to do it, but that gets a little more complicated, and we do have control over that. So, but as a practical matter, it's the owner of the property and the person who makes the investment that would receive the abatement.
However, other real estate that are developed around the area that offer a real estate tax abatement like that, it transfers to the first owner from the original developer. Yes. That would be our intent.
It runs right on land.
Yes.
Right.
So it isn't lost. For instance, if the Stansleys buy it and build on it and then sell it, it's not lost.
Right.
It's,
right.
That's what I was wondering.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Good. All right. All right. We do have an ordinance to approve this purchase offer to the city. Mrs. Hussman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to introduce ordinance number 1, 2016. All members of council previously receiving copies, I would like to read by title only. Approving the offer to purchase of Sylvania Properties LLC to purchase the city's real estate located at 6430 Longfellow Road, Sylvania, Ohio, at a sale price of $10,000, authorizing the mayor and the director of finance to accept said offer to purchase on behalf of the city of Sylvania, determining said real estate to be no longer needed for municipal purposes, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 1, 2016 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 1, 2016.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 1, 2016 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 1, 2016 is approved. Thank you for coming tonight. That is the latest, and what we can do if Bill's got your name and number, we can let you know when they come to the Municipal Planning Commission.
Thank you very much.
They're going to have to do that to split the property, and then they have to come to the Board of Architectural Review to review the structures that are going on it.
Great, thank you very much.
Lives across the street. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Agenda item six is proposed ordinance 2-2016, and this is to continue our relationship with Donald J. Schoenhardt and Associates to assist in the city of preparation of the city's basic financial statements. Mr. Schroyer.
Yeah, as you can see from the ordinance, we've had a relationship with Schoenhardt and Associates since 1996. They essentially take our cash basis financial reporting and convert it over GAAP-wise into accrual basis. And then that information is what gets audited by our auditors. We're currently coming off a three-year contract with them. That was $12,500 annually each year without an increase. And they're proposing another three-year contract at $13,500 a year without an increase during those 3 years. And I would recommend that we pass this ordinance.
Schoenhardt does this for many communities. Can you talk a bit about that?
There's not a whole lot of competition for what they do in the state of Ohio. I had a previous relationship with them for 12 years where I came from. But literally, they do most all the communities in the state of Ohio. They're located down in Hilliard, Ohio, I believe.
Toby did not bring this firm to the city of Sylvania when he came. They were already on board with us from, I think, dating back to John Plock.
It's 1996.
Yeah, a long time.
Almost 20 years.
Okay. And you're obviously satisfied with their work, mm-hmm. and gets along with the state auditors, puts it in the form they want it.
What was that?
It puts our financial statements in the form that the necessary for
correct.
The audit.
Correct. And that's okay. What they do for all the communities that they work with.
All right. Very good. Any questions for Toby? Okay, we have ordinance 2-2016. Mrs. Westphal.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 2-2016. All members of council having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only. Authorizing an agreement between Donald J. Schoenhardt and Associates, Inc. and the City of Sylvania, whereby said firm will assist the city in preparation of its 2015, 2016, and 2017 basic financial statements in compliance with generally accepted accounting principles at costs not to exceed $13,500 for 2015, $13,500 for 2016, $13,500 for 2017, plus mileage for each year, authorizing the mayor and director of finance to sign the agreement on behalf of the city, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second. It's moved and seconded that ordinance number 2-2016 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of ordinance number 2-2016.
Second. It's been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 2-2016 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 2-2016 is approved.
Mayor, could I add that with all the different ways of electronically sending data now, even though they put the mileage on there, it's very minimal or zero. They don't come in. So even though that's in there, that ends up being the next thing that's up in.
Okay. Agenda item 7, the service director has a report to you about Northbrook Court Improvement Project. That's another one over there off of Ravine Drive. This is west of the one that we did this past year. It's a longer street. However, we do have OPWC funds to pay for 49% of the cost. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, this project is part of the group project, Haroon Resurfacing, this project, Northbrook Court Improvements, and then the King Road Widening and Resurfacing. This project will be removing the existing concrete pavement and curb and replacing it with asphalt and curb. basically taking out the full section of the existing street and building it from scratch, if you will. We'll also be replacing the water main that's in there. We have had a few breaks in that water main, and it is, to today's standards, it is slightly undersized. It's a 6-inch water main, and anytime you put in water main today, you do 8-inch. And then also, there'll be some storm sewer replacement with the project. The estimated cost of the project is $335,351. And as the mayor indicated, we do have 49% of that covered with OPWC funds. So our portion of the project will be $171,000 that will actually be our net contribution towards the project. Plans are ready, and construction will be a short time. And we'd like to get this out on the street so that we can get it done early and have it completed by Memorial Day. So we'll be in there and out of there and moving on. So I would request that the clerk be authorized to ask for bids.
Over the last 15 or 20 years, the city has replaced many, but not all, of the residential streets of cast concrete that were put back in the 60s and the 70s because they off-settle, they create problems as the slabs break, and they did not have under drains under them. They were replaced with asphalt streets, and we're having much better luck with that. Plus, we can resurface them much easier than the concrete streets. So this continues that process, but does not complete that process. We still have many. Biggest one I can think of is Lincoln Woods is still concrete streets. With that, we ask for a motion authorizing the clerk to advertise for bids. Mr. Fry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll make a motion to authorize the clerk for bids for the Northbrook Court Improvement Project.
It's moved and seconded, authorizing the clerk to advertise for bids for the Northbrook Court Improvement Project. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Kevin, have you set a bid date? Got a bid date, or you will? It'll be in February.
It'll be in February, yes.
Okay.
We do have a date set there, but I'm sorry, I do not remember.
Not a problem. February is close enough for now. All right. We will see it in the legal ads in the paper. Are there any committee reports or committee referrals to be made at this time? This is the first day back after the end of December, so Toby, Tax commissioner must not have had a tax report for.
I did get it today, this afternoon. Year to date, 3.28%.
So it went down in December.
Down
that's
in December.
That's for the entire year then. So yes. 3.28%. And you had budgeted what?
2.8.
That's pretty good.
Close.
Yeah. All right. And you're on the proper side of it. So that's good. All right. If there's no further business, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And this council stands adjourned until its next regularly scheduled meeting, which will be 2 weeks and 1 day from tonight. Due to the Martin Luther King holiday, we are meeting on Tuesday, January the 19th at 7:30 p.m. Thank you all for attending.